So I have the privilege of getting to sit in on all of our session meetings. And this year, all of 2023, every session meeting opens with a devotion. But for 2023, Timothy guided the elders a little bit. They sign up for which month they want to do the devotion, but Timothy asked them all the same question this year. For your devotion, share with us, what has Jesus been teaching you? If we say that we are disciples of Jesus, that he is our teacher, our rabbi, and we are his students, then we should be learning from him. So he invited them to share, what has Jesus been teaching you? So this morning, I'm going to share that with you. Over the past year, I'm going to share just three times where Jesus showed up loudly, maybe, I don't know, gently. I don't know, he showed up very real for me, and I feel like he was teaching me something, and I want to share those three things with you. The first one came when we read the story of the blind man when the man receives his sight from Jesus. And the passage we read was in Luke, but then our Sunday school class, the Sunday school class I'm a part of, we then look at the same passage from the sermon and we dig in a little bit deeper, or we talk about it a little bit more. So in Sunday school that morning, we read the passage from the book of Mark. So I'm going to read this morning from Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. And this was the first time this year where I felt like Jesus was speaking directly to me, loudly and clearly. So Mark 10. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So that morning in Sunday school, Timothy posed the same question to us. He said, "Imagine that you were the person standing before Jesus, and Jesus said to you, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" And as I sat there in the fellowship hall with other people around me, immediately I thought of requests for other people. I thought of asking Jesus to help a friend who was going through something difficult. I thought of students that I teach at St. John's, or youth that I lead on Wednesday nights, and I thought of all the things they were carrying, and I thought to lift those things up. But I heard a little bit more clearly in my head, "No, no, what do you want me to do for you?" And that went against me. It felt selfish to think about me and what I needed or what I wanted. And maybe that's because of my childhood. I was always in the middle of two spicy redheads, right? So I learned to be a mediator. I was always looking out for the two of them. I played the role of both little sister and big sister very well. I looked out for my big brother. I was always willing to take the fall for him or with him. And I looked out for my little sister. I was willing to protect, to stand up for her. I always wanted to guide and direct her. She's not here this morning. She would say, erase that. She just liked to boss me around, right? It wasn't guiding and directing. It was just being bossy. But that was my childhood, so I was always thinking of the two of them. And then I think over my career choices. First, I was in retail and in management for almost 12 years. And so the buck stopped with me. So if there were complaints at my store, I didn't want my sales associates taking those complaints or having the heat at them. I would step in and step up and say, bring those things to me. I'll carry the weight for my team. And then now I'm in ministry, where it's my role to care for others, to listen, to be available. I'm supposed to be the stable, strong one. Teacher, I teach at St. John's Christian Academy. I'm a youth pastor and a youth leader. Right? I'm the one that these students are supposed to look to have answers, to pray for them, to lighten their load. But again, that morning I heard, no, what do you want me to do for you? And when I thought of lightening load, I did continue to think of the young people that I serve. And I think that they are too young to carry some of the things that they're carrying. But then that led my train of thought to teenage me. And I thought of when I was their age. And I carried things that were too heavy for me to carry. And in that moment, in the fellowship hall, surrounded by all the other people, I got choked up because I realized I was still carrying those things. And they're too heavy for me to carry. So on my way home from worship that day after Sunday school, I really told Jesus, okay, you want to know what I want you to do for me? I want you to sit with me. And I want you to cry with me. For all the brokenness that I know, I hear, I listen to, that I've felt and I've experienced. Kelly Brown teaches the Logos children this song. Ooh, Jared, here goes my solo. And it goes, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I thought, okay. And I started singing that in my head. Because maybe I do have things that I need the Lord to do for me. And so that was it. That was my request that day. That Jesus would sit with me. And that he too would let me see his heart broken for the things that have broken mine. And then I was comforted by words that he speaks in the book of Matthew. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So that morning, the first thing this year, I believe that Jesus was trying to really impress upon me, something I know, but I think he was trying to really impress upon me, is that he delights in hearing my heart. He wants to know what he can do for me. He's not just able to heal and restore, but he desires to do that. He wants to do that. So this morning for you as well, he wants to know what he can do for you. He wants to do it. So be willing to ask. The second thing that I learned, or that I felt like Jesus has impressed upon me this year, this one came as I was out at Mepkin Abbey. I went through Fuller Formation Group this year, and so we spent 4 weekends out at Mepkin Abbey. And during these retreats, we had an extended period of silence. starting with like an hour of silence. By the last retreat, it was 2.5 hours that you were supposed to spend with just you and God. It may sound daunting, may sound boring. I don't know. For me, it ended up becoming some of my most enjoyable times of this year. Learning to just be with Jesus, right? That was my request for him, to sit with me. And then it was like he turned it around on me. I want you to sit with me. So one day out at Mepkin Abbey, and this was one of the spring retreats when everything was blooming. It was beautiful out there. Flowers, green grass, squirrels scurrying, even alligators sunbathing. And it made me think of one of my very favorite books and my very favorite scene from my very favorite book. If you've ever read C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, the most famous one is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And there's this scene when Aslan, he is the Jesus figure in the book. He dies and then he's resurrected just like Jesus. But he is an enormous, majestic lion in the books. And so Aslan has risen from the dead, and the little girls in the story are there at his tomb, just like the women go to see Jesus at the tomb. But he has risen and he plays with the little girls. There's this moment of joy and interaction, and they're playing together. I'm going to read just this little part for you. So envision this huge lion dancing around and playing with two young girls. "Oh, children," said the lion, "I feel my strength coming back to me. Oh, children, catch me if you can." He stood for a second, his eyes were bright, his limbs quivering, lashing himself with his tail. Then he made a leap high over their heads, and he landed on the other side. Laughing, though she did not know why, Lucy scrambled over to reach him. Aslan leapt again, and a mad chase began. Round and round the hilltop he led them, now hopelessly out of their reach, but now letting them almost catch his tail. Now diving between them, now tossing them in the air with his huge and beautifully velveted paws, he caught them. Now stopping unexpectedly so that all three of them rolled over together in a happy, laughing heap of fur, arms, and legs. That's what I thought of when I was out at Mepkin that day. That Jesus wants to play with me. He wants me to enjoy being near me. And this is the lesson that I learned that day. Jesus doesn't just love me, he likes me. He likes me. When we think of his love, right, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, sometimes we can believe a lie that that is out of obligation or duty that he came to save us. But not so. He likes us. He wants to be near us because he wants me to be near him. He wants us in that relationship. So if you need to hear that today, Jesus doesn't just love you. He likes you. And he desires to spend time with you. The third lesson was at another retreat out at Mepkin, but this was an Abide retreat, a retreat that I try and offer to members of the congregation to come out during the day, to take a day off, and come out to Mepkin. And we read scripture together, and we spend time in silence, and then we come back and we talk together. And so on this particular day, we had read scripture together and we were breaking up to go out into the gardens. And I passed by this statue. I wish I had brought a picture of it. But it's a statue of Jesus and he's holding his arms open wide. And there's a bench right in front of that statue. And I shared this with members who came to the retreat that I've always passed by that that statue. Every time I've been out there, I've never sat on that bench. What I do is I read scripture, and then I go straight for the labyrinth. I'm such a creature of habit. If you don't know what a labyrinth is, it's kind of like a maze, a little bit like that. And so I will read scripture, and then I'll walk through the labyrinth that kind of circles inward, and I'll spend time praying over that scripture that I read. And then when I get to the middle, I'll sit, and then I'll listen for God, and as I'm walking back out, I will listen for how he wants to speak to me through that scripture that I read, how he wants to instruct me to go back into the world. I do that every single time I go to Mepkin. And in that morning, that day when I passed by that statue, I was stopped in my tracks. It almost kind of took my breath away. It was as if Jesus said, stop. Stop doing that. Don't be at work when you're out here to be with me. So there was an invitation, right? The bench right in front of that statue. It was as if Jesus said back to me, I just want you to sit with me. And so I went and I sat on that bench. And this was in November and it was pretty chilly that morning. And I sat on that bench and I was cold. But I so enjoyed it. Because the lesson I learned that morning, what Jesus was impressing upon me, is that you do not have to do, be, earn, or prove your worth to me. I already love you. Just sit with me. So that's what I want us to do this morning. Sit with him. I know lots of us are thinking about taking Christmas decorations down. We're thinking about what the new year is going to bring. But for this morning, for these next few minutes, for these next few songs, I invite you to just sit with them. Don't rush ahead and don't really look back. Just enjoy him today. He is present. He is the present, the greatest gift, and he came. He came as a baby in a stable with angels and shepherds and animals and travelers who came bringing gifts from afar. And when I think of that scene in the stable, right, it makes kids giddy. Just a few weeks ago, we let the Lagos kids, our kindergarten through fifth graders, dress up as the nativity scene characters, and they had so much fun. And it was so much fun watching them, right? Enjoy that. And think of that scene, right, of all the people who were there at Jesus' birth. All of creation is invited to sit with him, to worship him, to rejoice and celebrate him. So let's do that this morning as we sing Christmas songs celebrating his birth and that he came and that he wanted to be near us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.